Members, we're one short of a quorum, but I think we'll start because we have a very tight timeline. So we'll officially convene as soon as we have a quorum. But Representative Lanning, if you would like to begin to go over the bill. And as I mentioned yesterday, the reason that we're meeting at 8 o'clock today is that the bill was reported, and we'll be taking the report from Representative Murphy's Cultural and Outdoor Resources Finance Division last night, and an amendment was worked on, and we have that now. But we have to have the bill over to taxes, so we need to get it reported on the House floor, hopefully today. So, Representative Lanning, if you could go over the bill, and we'll touch on the amendment as soon as we are able to take action. Representative Lanning?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you is House File 1195. And let me give you just a brief
Excuse me, we now have a quorum, so we'll officially convene. And the minutes, Representative Vistens, have you looked at the minutes? You were here early? Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussions? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Representative Murphy, if you could move the division report.
Mr. Chair, I move the Cultural and Outdoor Resources Finance Division report for House File 1195, the first engrossment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, and all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Representative Murphy?
I have speech to make.
Okay, before you make the motion. Either way.
Would you rather after?
Well, why don't we make the motion on the bill as officially before?
All right. I move House File 1195, the first engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay, that motion is before us, and do you want to make your comments now or after the bill is presented?
I'll wait
until
the bill is presented, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Lanning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I assume that the A7 amendment will be acted on next.
We can do that right now if you'd like. If somebody would make that motion. Okay, Representative Solberg moves the amendment. And just, do you want to comment about the amendment, then, Representative Lanning?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. In Representative Murphy's, Chair Murphy's committee last night, some technical issues were raised, and that prompted some discussion on a couple of other points. And we were instructed to convene a group of representatives from the Library Association, the state librarian, the county officials, and others for the purpose of trying to work out the satisfactory understanding and agreement with some language that would address those technical concerns. And if I might ask Ms. Dalton to give the details on this, she drafted the amendment that's before you.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, for the committee, I'm Pat Dalton with House Research. This bill does a couple of, the amendment does a couple of things. Lines 4 through 16 of the amendment essentially provides that they will use a three-year average of tax capacity in calculating the minimum MOE beginning in calendar year 2011. The changes in lines 17 through 23 require counties and cities to notify the regional library system if they want to have an adjusted MOE for aid cuts. That's effective beginning in 2009. Line 2.7 addresses a concern of the state law librarian who originally the bill was going to allow the MOE to be based on the lowest MOE from the first, second, or third year preceding year and the first preceding year is actually an estimate, and they don't have final numbers in time for the certification, so the first year was removed, so it's the left of the second or third year. Lines 2.8 and 2.15 of the amendment are really just very minor, strictly technical word changes. Lines 2.9 to 2.14 allows that the calendar year 2009 reduction in the library MOE take into account the 2008 unallotments as well as the any 2009 aid cuts. And lines 2.16 through 2.21 require that the Commissioner of Revenue provide the information necessary to the state law librarian to make the aid cuts, and actually for pay 2009 requires that the Commissioner of Revenue will actually calculate the cuts because they have the information.
Okay, and the adoption of this amendment then would put the bill in the form that the author would like, and I think there was input from the division chair. The amendment is okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, any further discussion on the amendment then? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I won't go through the details, but let me give you a brief overview of the bill and focus especially on the provision I know that is subject for this committee to consider. This whole bill and a couple of others grew out of an initiative in the property tax division. Chairman Marquardt established three work groups to take a look at a number of issues related to state fiscal, state-local fiscal relationships. The first group took a look at local government performance measurement and improvement program. Chair Marquardt chaired that work group, and he has a bill that's working through the process related to those issues. The second was a group chaired by Representative Dietrich, and that looked at the state property tax system and having benchmarks and critical indicators for local governments to improve accountability to the taxpayers. And then the third group was the group I chaired, local government decision-making flexibility and mandate reduction. The process we went through is we asked representatives of local units of government to come to us with their long list of mandates or issues that have been of concern to them over the years. As a former local government official, I know these issues have been circling about state and local fiscal relationships for many years. We got long lists, obviously a list too long to really deal with in a short work group session. And so then we asked them to boil that down to their top 10 or so. And we got that list, looked at that, and then asked them to give us their top three or four most important issues that they wanted to see us address with regard to giving local governments more flexibility and giving them some relief on mandates. And as a result of that, we put together a draft bill with the help of the committee. Those included in my work group and included Representative Loeffler, Representative Tilbury, and Representative Detmer. We put together a draft bill, had an informal hearing, and made some changes, and then the resulting bill was 1195, which was introduced. There are four articles in the bill. The first article is primarily one that will be addressed in the Tax Committee. And this article has four provisions. It changes the truth in taxation process. It gives, citizens, taxpayers, more information earlier, more opportunity to address their concerns with regard to the proposed budget. And indicates that the final hearing, which we have felt for years, comes way too late in the process, usually in early December, right on the eve of a budget decision having to be made by the local unit of government. And I think that provision has misled the public into thinking that this would be a time where you could really make changes, but it's too late in the process. And what we're proposing now would move everything up, give citizens better notice, and more opportunities to address their concerns with regard to the budget process. The second provision deals with modifying the library maintenance of efforts, which we've already addressed, and we've been working closely with representatives of the Library Association, the state librarian, and local units of government, trying to come up with language that we feel is a reasonable compromise with regard to this provision, giving local governments, cities and counties, some relief, and libraries, we're pleased to say, are willing to share their portion of the budget cuts that obviously everyone is going to be facing. And so this would give some relief on the maintenance of effort while preserving the maintenance of effort. We're not eliminating it at all, but it is being preserved. And then we also have a provision that says that there should be no new maintenance of effort enacted by the legislature. If they are after January 1st of 2009, they should be temporarily suspended on enactment until after 2012. Then the final provision in Article 1 is the elimination of the levy limits. You know, when we're in a period where local aids are increasing, I think levy limits are hard to argue against. But when you're in an era where aids are being cut, it seems to me that levy limits should not be imposed at that point in time, and so therefore this bill would eliminate those, and that is a top concern for local units of government, particularly cities and counties. Article 2 has a whole series of miscellaneous, and I could talk way too long on each of those items, just miscellaneous sort of nuisances that have been there for local units of government. And then Article 3 deals with something that came from the townships in particular. And that is, we have different enactment dates or effective dates for rules that are imposed by the state. And what this bill would do is to say we should have two effective dates. They ought to be coordinated so you don't have one rule coming out one week or one month, and then the next month you have a new rule coming out that may change what that first rule implied. And then the final provision is the establishment of the commission on legislative commission on mandate reform. This is modeled after a bill I first introduced in 2003. Our work group took a look at what's in place now to help address issues of mandate reform, and we found that what's in place right now is used very little and not very effective. And it seems to me that it would be best for us to have an ongoing process whereby we could do the kind of work that we have done in this work group. In a very short period of time, in about a month, we were able to identify a whole series of mandate reforms that should be put in place. And the alternative is to have each of those items go through as a separate bill. Can you imagine how much more time would have been spent by committees and all of the advocates, all of the local units of government, if all of those bills were handled individually as they have typically been done over the years. And so this commission, we would envision, would meet during the interim a few times, not much, collect from local units of government mandates of concern like we did, put together a proposed bill that would be introduced at the beginning of the next legislative session, and then the legislature would have a bill much like this that we could consider with a series of mandates that might be addressed. This commission would be handled through the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and I have talked with Mr. Hubinger about this. And we know that they would incur some costs, and that would be picked up by the mechanism for funding this. We're not asking for a new appropriation here. What the proposal is that $100,000 a year be taken right off the top of whatever the local government aid appropriation is and the county program aid. So whatever those final amounts appear to be, the first $100,000 would be taken off $50,000 from each. and it would be given to the Legislative Coordinating Commission to fund the activities of this commission and the support that they need. With that, Mr. Chairman, maybe that's enough detail for sort of an overview. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Okay, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm speaking just on 1195, Section 2, parts that have to do with the library. I'm speaking on that because the libraries are one of our accounts in the Cultural and Outdoor Resources Committee. And since we are a new committee, and this is the first time we've had libraries. Libraries have traditionally been in the Education Committee, and there is a state librarian, and the state librarian is housed in the Department of Education and funded through the Department of Education's administration funding. And the library systems receive their money based on formulas that are maintained by the state librarian. That being said, the library system of funding, how we funded traditionally statewide funding of library systems, is not easy to understand. There are regional library systems, and everybody belongs, all the libraries belong to them, but there are city libraries, there are county libraries, there are regional libraries, and the systems in addition to that. And so it is not very transparent. And our committee is trying to get a handle on how libraries are funded. And it seems that the Library Association is very active and understands it perfectly. But to explain it to other people in a concise way is very difficult. And that's why Representative Solberg and I asked the state law auditor to put on the list of survey for the legislators to fill out their choices, the Minnesota library system. And I'm asking anyone who cares about their hometown library or their regional library or their county library or wish they had a library to check number 6 off so that we can start with getting a handle on, is there a better way, a more transparent way, a way that citizens could understand how libraries are funded? Then, if we have that, then we can understand and try to find out what the history of the maintenance of effort for libraries is. Because the committee is not really clear about that either. And we don't necessarily subscribe to the position of the cities and the counties that, oh, woe is us, because we have levy limits and because local government aids are being cut, the library, the maintenance of effort should be going down either. But we don't have enough background, nor did we have enough time to negotiate a real position on that. And Representative Lanning has been very forthright in coming to me and saying that this was in the works. And Representative Loeffler was my lead person and a representative on Representative Lanning's committee. And Ms. Dalton spent a lot of time bringing me up to speed, but not the whole committee because we didn't have that opportunity. And then we were told last Thursday that we had to have the bill out so that it could go on. And you know that story because that's what you were told too, that it had to go on. It was my intent last night to take out Section 2. But then I didn't know exactly what I'd do with it once I had it. Had I known last night what I know today about what Representative Marquardt is going to propose today, I would take out Section 2. But Ms. Dalton promised to be the guardian of 1195 Section 2 as it moves along, because I told Representative Lanning that as it moves along, if there are changes that take place, I'm going to ask to pull it, Section 2. And Ms. Dalton understands my apprehension now that if I had known last night what I know today, that I would have kept Section 2, if that was the desire of my committee, of course. That she will continue to be the guardian of it. And I'm going to renew my motion to recommend that it be passed. But I'm going to be watching, and through Ms. Dalton, I'm going to be keeping an eye and information about this bill as it goes along. Only because what's going to be proposed also affects the maintenance of effort. And maybe there won't be a need for Section 2.
Okay, thank you. The motion has been renewed. Any further discussion? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Chairman and members, since we're all talking about how cooperative legislators have been, I'll have to point out that I also agree that even though the funding of this bill, said part of the funding of this bill, the appropriation to the Legislative Coordinating Commission could go through my division, I agree to forego this in the interest in letting the bill move on. I would like to say something about the mechanism of funding, which I actually think is a very good mechanism of funding. Is a mechanism that I invented several years ago for putting additional funding into the state auditor's office to cover some of the auditing responsibilities that the state auditor had on kind of delinquencies and bad stuff in local government accounts that they couldn't legitimately bill to the local unit of government, because if that was going to happen, none of them would ever get reported to them. And what I did was take this, said this is the responsibility of all government to have good government, and I took a sliver off the top of the local government aids in the point. And I did this with agreement of a previous tax chair, and then I think I did it with, and then we increased it last session with the agreement of Chair Lanchesky and so forth. This year, it turned out that this method of funding was removed in a technical amendment in the tax bill last year. So as the money stayed in the auditor's space, so the auditor didn't lose the money, the mechanism of funding was changed, which makes it a little more more devious. I then got a strong, when I went to protest and tried to get a change, and I guess this issue is up perhaps in Paul Marquardt's division, so we'll discuss it. I got a strong lecture from the chair of the tax committee about how we were trying to protect money in our target, which is among the smallest of all the targets, financial targets anywhere, at the expense of money in her target, even though this is less than the round-off, practically less than the round-off numbers that she sees. But anyway, I think we have to look at this idea that some certain things that have to be done, you know, to the benefit of local units of government can be done by some funding off the top of some of the very big items that we have in our budget. So I'm just saying, I don't want to see the bill, but I am going to watch this method of appropriation carefully.
Representative Champion, I just want to remind members we shortly will be on another committee's time. So if members can be brief. Representative Champion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I didn't have the opportunity of hearing this bill other than
today and having an opportunity to read through it expeditiously. But one particular section does, cause me some concern. That particular section is around contracting. And it's my understanding that this bill proposes to increase the threshold level by which local municipalities would have to advertise for contracts or put bids out. And I want to understand what your thinking was around that and how you expect to address the public policy notion of inclusion, because when we raise those threshold levels, it's my understanding that local municipalities can contract by direct negotiation without putting it out for a bid. So can you speak to that notion, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Champion. Yeah, that came to us as a recommendation from local units of government to bring it up to the same threshold that we have in other section of law regarding other situations. I would, if I might, Mr. Chairman, ask that one of the county or city folks to come down and address this, that specifically.
Yeah, we don't generally take testimony, but we do have people come forward and answer questions, so. Did you hear the question?
I did, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jennifer O'Rourke with the League of Minnesota Cities. And pieces Representative Champion is talking about would be in sections, I believe, 6 and 7, maybe, of Article 2, the miscellaneous one. And quite frankly, actually, without providing a lot of detail, this is actually a technical fix from some changes that went into law last year, and I'd be glad to follow up and have a longer conversation with you, if that's okay, later on today.
Representative Champion, does that...
Due to time, I guess it would have to suffice, so I will, ask you.
Okay, so you'll work out of time to get together with Representative Champion. Thank you. Representative Browning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I share the concerns of Representative Kahn. Imagine what could be done in the Education Committee if we funded every little thing off the top of the education formula for students, that it's not kept up with inflation over the years, but we all have our pet things. I think it's a very bad trend. And then secondly, I do not think it's a good year to be creating more government and having this commission, I think is unnecessary. I think it's a very good bill, but I don't support a new layer of government to do this. In K-12 education finance this year, where I think mandate reduction should be discussed in the committees of jurisdiction where members are familiar with the issues, I think is a better place to do it than generalists trying to cover the waterfront for the entire topics in the legislature. We had a working group that took a look at mandate reduction. All the interest groups are very capable, and they did, of compiling and coming forward with 150 or so mandates for that group to take a look at, and then they did, and they went through it in about a month's time, came up with a bill. We have it now in the omnibus bill, and it was all people that are actually on education, know the issues, and I think that's a better place to do it. And by the way, it didn't cost anything other than current members and current staff.
And Representative Rudd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we focus a lot on mandate reduction, and I'm wondering, Representative Lanning, if you guys had a discussion that you can talk about quickly related to not putting the mandates on in the first place. It seems like we're focusing on the wrong end, and we also need to focus on raising the bar for when the legislature comes up with our ideas that we want to put on local governments. Wondering if you had a discussion related to requiring a higher vote total to put on mandates, things along those lines. And then secondly, I'm wondering how this commission is going to help us deal with some of the mandates that are very politically difficult. For example, the pay equity reporting requirement is 3 years. We tried to move it to 5. It's a politically difficult situation, but it impacts local governments in many ways. Do you think that this is going to help be able to negotiate through some of the politics around the mandates? Those are my two quick questions.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, this commission is basically going to be a legislative work group, and including both representatives and senators. and hopefully this group would be able to tackle the first question you asked, Representative Broad. You know, how can we avoid some problematic mandates from being enacted or put in place in the first place? We simply didn't have time to take that kind of comprehensive look. That's a good question, one that I would expect this commission to be able to address. And as far as the politically charged, we had some interesting discussions about even what's in this bill. We did take out some things like the pay equity provision because we knew that that was going to create a whole lot more discussion along the way, and get in the way of our being able to get some kind of relief enacted this year. But this legislative commission, it seems to me, during the interim, would be better able to work through some of those issues and hopefully come up with some compromise on those that are. But let's face it, those that are, where you have strong sides, both sides of an issue, ultimately the legislature as a whole is going to have to resolve those.
Representative Skins.
Roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Lankowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lanning, I just want to, I haven't been able to, but I wanted to thank take this opportunity to thank you for this bill. Members of this committee may not know how hard Representative Lanning has worked on this bill with lots of input from all of our cities and our counties and townships to try to solve this thing we keep hearing about, all the burdens of mandates. And I just want committee members to know that, you know, when this gets to taxes, I'm certain the debate will continue, but I do want people to know that in addition to having a very difficult time going on in his district today, which I understand, and our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with you and Representative Marquardt and everybody else who's struggling with this, I did want the committee to know that Representative Lanning, not only a former mayor, but the former president of the League of Minnesota Cities, has worked 20 years on mandate relief. So I think the committee should recognize the thought that's gone into this, even if there's parts they don't like. So I just wanted to thank you.
Okay, with that, clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
Aye.
Brown?
No.
Diskin?
No.
Campion?
Aye.
Clark?
Yes.
Emmer? Glossville? Bradley?
Yes.
Hepworth?
No.
Berkey? Howes? Huntley?
Aye.
Dunkey?
Aye.
Kahn? Giffmeyer?
No.
Knuth? Coles?
No.
Minkowski?
Aye.
Murphy?
Conditionally, yes.
Kamar? Polowski? Pepin?
Yes.
No. Rukavina?
Aye.
Szymanski?
No.
Simon?
Yes.
Talbot?
Aye.
Smith?
No.
Stolberg?
Yes.
Jason? Virginia? Winkler?
Emmer is a no. Carter.
We're still the roll call still open. Stenson.
Aye.
Was there someone else?
Kahn.
It had been 14 ayes and 9 nays. Motion is carried, and thank you for arriving early, and with that, meeting adjourned.